Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Good morning, everybody. Penny for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS on a Tuesday. You're back with us today, back at work, wherever you might be listening. Good to have you back. We had a busy day yesterday. We actually worked here on Labor Day and had Lauren Tate in for the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. We had a lot of activity there. Today, it is Tuesday. We have 2 hours, a lot of open line time today during the course of the 2 hours between now and 11 o'clock. We will have Rush Record from CASA with an update from him towards the end of the show, about 10:40, 10:45 today. A lot of headlines in Washington, D.C. The big story you're going to hear every day, hour after hour for this week, is the Brett Kavanaugh hearings on Capitol Hill and the Senate Judiciary Committee. Opening statements underway. You heard from CBS already some protests and complaints about documents and so forth. We'll get into some of that during the course of the show today. We'll also get into some of the local stories. And the big local story is a sports story with receiver Mike Dudek. He is going to be finished for this year and maybe for his career at Illinois, it appears. He suffered a knee injury late in the game against Kent State on Saturday. And it was interesting because he made a catch, about 25-yard catch, over the middle down to the 10-yard line. And we in the booth saw him then on the sideline with his helmet off, and we thought, okay, well, that what happened? Did he get hurt? Did he land awkwardly? Is it precautionary? And we kind of speculated among ourselves as to what had happened. And I know Martin O'Donnell and Jason Davis were talking about it during the commercial break and on the air about, you know, what is he doing and why is he not back in the game and so forth. But it didn't appear to be serious. He was kind of smiling and talking with his teammates and seemed to be okay. And then we find out yesterday that he is out for the year, and this being his last year at Illinois, at least as of now, without another medical redshirt, is going to be done at Illinois. So that was a very jolting news yesterday. So that's the big local story. The governor's back in town. We'll tell you why. Colin Kaepernick is in the news with a Nike commercial. And Nike's stock numbers took a little bit of a hit here this morning on Wall Street. So we'll tell you about that story. And also in the category of do you think this is a good idea, Colorado is looking at allowing people who turn 16 to be able to vote. Are you able to vote at 16? Is that a good idea? So we'll visit that topic if we get a chance today. You can call us at 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And you can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Let's go to the phones here at 908. Good morning to Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, I got a couple of, I guess, 2 points that I'd like to make.
Okay.
And they both concern law enforcement. And, well, actually three, if I'll try to make this succinct. You know, I think Julia Reitz has been reelected three times. And we just read about the Cassano murder. And here's a guy that had at least 10 felony convictions or 10 felony domestic abuse. He was ordered twice to give a DNA sample, which he refused. I'm trying to figure out if there's culpability in the state's attorney's office for not enforcing that. How can somebody that has 10 convictions not be in jail or jailed? And then you have multiple felony, not convictions, but charges, and people might be on a felony charge. They let them out on ridiculously low bonds, $10,000 or $15,000, and they go out and commit more crimes. That seems to be directly in the hands of the state's attorney. And why she is allowed to remain in office for her incompetence, I mean, speaks volumes of the voters. Secondly, you have Laurel Prussing, who was elected three times in Urbana. She forced Carl to leave. 8,000 people left in that particular situation. They left from the Lincoln Square Mall, and now all that business and tax revenue is lost, and she's now running for county treasurer. It'll be a miracle if she wins election. And thirdly, I just read in the paper this morning that the city of Champaign is going to vote on another settlement, and the taxpayers picked that up. My question is, the American public, or the Champaign public, responsible and an open checkbook for the indiscretions of the police department? And when does the Champaign City Council take a responsible view in controlling the taxation of the public? Your comments.
Well, number one, and again, you're dealing in some legal areas that I don't know how everything works in that. And we had, I think it was either Bob Steigman or somebody was on about the, I don't know, the so-called hole in the process of someone who doesn't show up when they're ordered to show up for a DNA test in the case of the suspect arrested in the Holly Cassano case. And I don't know if you can pin that on the state's attorney or if you can pin it on whatever, the court system or the way it works. I don't know. So I don't know what to tell you on that because I'm just not a legal expert. I know what people have told me or what they think about it, but I don't know if I can answer that.
What about the second part where these people are up on felony charges, and I mean upwards of three, and they're let out on $10,000 bond? That means they got to post $1,000 and they're out.
Yeah.
On felony charges.
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you. I just know that, you know, in any court situation, whether it's, you know, whether you're, what about a restraining order? I mean, we have restraining orders, and how many times do those get broken?
I get that, but I'm, okay, last point, and I'll get off the line.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about the voting public that they vote according to party? They don't even look at the issues and the competency of the person in office and whether they are damaging their interest. And I point specifically to Laurel Prussing, a career politician who has basically destroyed the Urbana economy. Nobody, no businesses are going there. She chased out the largest Urbana employer and all the revenue that goes with that, people eating lunch, spending their tax dollars, living in the community. And she's up. She's running for another office. But the people in Urbana keep electing her. Obviously, she lost this last time to Marlon. But it's confounding.
Yeah. Well, and on that, you know, yeah, right, she did pick a fight with Carl. That's been an ongoing issue. Part of, and I know some people that work with Carl and or Health Alliance. Part of that had to do with just they had offices scattered all over town. And there was some property available, and they took advantage of it in Champaign. I don't know. I have no idea if the situation with the city of Urbana was the deciding factor. I'm sure it didn't help Urbana's case for them to stay in town with the fight. But I don't know if, I mean, there are a lot of multiple reasons why they moved out there.
Well, I appreciate the time. I know I took a lot, and thanks for listening. But I wanted to express my opinion because the state of law enforcement in this town is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we have people shot weekly, and the number of felons running around that aren't in prison is astronomical. Every time you read an arrest record, the guy has been 6 to 10 charges against him. He got out of prison. He's not in prison. He's on probation. And they give second chance probation to felonies, and you get DUIs who they want to throw the book at and keep them in prison or keep them in jail forever. I mean, I just don't understand the logic. Hmm. And by the way, my brother is a federal judge in California. So I think I'm pretty versed in not being an attorney, but how a federal judge, and he was a criminal defense attorney. So I'm pretty versed in how these things work. Hmm. And from that context, the state of law enforcement in Champaign-Urbana is nothing to be proud of, my opinion.
All right. Thank you. Very good. Hey, Doug, thanks for the call. I appreciate your passion. Thank you. Very good. 9:15 here at DWS. Let's see here. Linda says, if you'd like to turn on the TV, you'll see the Democrats in full display as their obstructionism is really all they have. Hard to believe this is the United States of America. Their disrespect is even in a congressional hearing where civility should be demanded, all because of their hatred of Trump and anybody conservative. Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed. That in from Linda today. We'll take our opening break here. We'll come back with more. We'll get an update on the Brett Kavanaugh hearing straight ahead after this. Penny for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. Tomorrow, by the way, is Blossom Basket Good Neighbor Day. Pick up a free dozen roses. Keep one. Hand out the other 11 to friends and strangers. And again this year, the team from Blossom Basket asking for your help by donating non-perishable food items for the CU at Home Men's Shelter. Roses starting at 7 a.m. in the morning at either Blossom Basket location or our former studios at the corner of Neal and Windsor, or here at the News Gazette Media Building, our new studios, 15 Main, downtown Champaign. Let's go back to the phones. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you. There was a letter to the editor in the paper yesterday about Alan Jones. This lady said that he was using his position as running for sheriff in the Cassano case, and I have to disagree with her. That man's worked hard on this case, and he's a good man, and I just hate to see somebody accuse him of such a thing, because he's really done his job, and well, I respect our police officers, and we don't give them enough credit sometimes, and every time I see one of the police officers and firefighters, I always thank them for their service to our community.
Well, I think you should, and they spend in a lot of long hours, I know, with the Sheriff's Department between Alan Jones and I know Kurt Apperson pretty well. Those guys have spent hours and hours on that Cassano case. So,
yes.
You know, just the fact the timing is now, you know, a couple months before an election doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just that's when everything happened. So.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate the phone call. 356-9397. Is our phone number. We're at 920, and good morning to Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Brian. I didn't hear the complete call of the guy who was blowing about his brother being a federal judge in California.
Yep.
I think this guy, he doesn't realize that the police do the arresting, and they do a pretty good job of it. But when it gets to the courthouse, the state's attorney is the one negotiating these cases, not charging full charges to keep these people in jail, especially repeat gun offenders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only going on here, it goes on in Chicago. They've got a state's attorney up there that won't prosecute anybody for hardly anything.
Yeah, and once it gets into the court system, then you've got the defense attorneys, the prosecutors, they're all going back and forth over different things, and so it becomes, the process. And so what happens in that process, people aren't always happy with what happens in that process.
It's out of the police hands. The police do an excellent job of arresting people and hauling them in. But
All right.
Deal making and the they claim the jails are overcrowded. You see some of the same names in the paper all the time for different crimes, and first offender's probation is fine for some things, but gun crimes, I don't think so.
Hey, Greg,
that guy, he needs to educate himself before he gets on here and starts blaming the police for everything.
All right, hey, thanks for your thoughts, Greg. I appreciate it.
Have
a great day. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. We've talked about the Brett Kavanaugh hearings underway in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Charles Grassley has brought everybody together, and Bob Constantini's out in Washington, D.C. And, Bob, good morning to you, and the fireworks have started already on this.
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Even before Brett Kavanaugh has had a chance to open his mouth for a second, Democrats interrupted Chairman Chuck Grassley's opening statement, the welcoming statement, for Judge Kavanaugh, and including Dick Durbin, of course, all objecting to what the Trump White House did last night, sending up about 42,000 extra pages of information regarding Brett Kavanaugh. It seems as though, and I'm not sure anybody's had a chance to look through it all, but information regarding Brett Kavanaugh's time in the George W. Bush White House. So this is material that previously, I believe, the Trump White House has claimed executive privilege on. The Democrats have been complaining about not getting this. And so on top of the interruptions from the Democrats wanting an adjournment so they could get a look at this material, and they're speaking and they're giving their opening statements, it seems, right now. On top of that, Brian, you've also got in-the-room protesters who are standing up and shouting and having to be carted out. So it's been a very colorful start to all of this, and before we even hear from Judge Kavanaugh.
Yeah, it's always trying to make a big splash early while everybody's watching, I think, is the idea. And these documents, I guess there's what, I think I read there's like 400,000 documents out there already, or at least 200 and some thousand that they've looked at. These are an additional 42 that came in last night, right?
Yes, and to be sure, a lot of the other documents have been looked at because the committee has, even the Democrats and Republicans have staffers who are supposed to go through these things line by line. It's a lot of work, there's no question about it, to review. However, the Democrats already have some of their talking points with what Brett Kavanaugh has said and written previously about things like executive power. They want to, what they're seeking, by and large, from the Trump White House is the George W. Bush's deliberations and what Kavanaugh may have done or how Kavanaugh may have affected it during the initial days of the war on terror, including enhanced interrogation techniques, as well as the sending prisoners to Guantanamo, what kind of domestic spying the administration may have been able to approve, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what the Democrats seem to be going after, and the thoughts, Kavanaugh's thoughts, of course, about executive power, as they keep pointing out, the Mueller investigation moves along.
Bob Constantini is with us, Westwood One in Washington, D.C., for a couple more minutes, covering the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Can they get this done by October 1?
In terms of a full Senate approval, it might be difficult. However, Mitch McConnell calls the shots here. What they also need to worry about before October 1st is the threat of a government shutdown, including the threat by the president to shut the government down if he feels, you know, because the new fiscal year starts October 1st. The president is threatening a government shutdown, or has threatened a government shutdown, if he doesn't get money out of Congress for the wall. And to tell you the truth, Brian, he's been kind of all over the place about what he might accept as far as wall money is concerned out of the upcoming spending bills. While the Senate has been approving a lot of the spending bills, the normal process of 13 appropriations bills, the Senate's gone through about 8 or 9 of them, I believe, and approved 8 or 9 of them. So even if there is a government shutdown, it might be a partial government shutdown, but that's the thing that the Senate has to worry about as well before October 1st. So whether Brett Kavanaugh can be finalized with a floor vote, a confirmation vote, to take his place on the court when it opens its term is a big question mark.
And before we let you go, Bob, the McCain seat, obviously they just laid to rest Senator McCain. What happens there, and does this, obviously the vote is pretty close. We all know how close it's going to be, but how does that come into play here?
Well, the expectation is that Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona will name someone relatively soon who would be expected to approve Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. And so that would, again, give the Republicans a one-seat majority in the U.S. Senate. And the expectation is also that a handful of Democrats will probably go along. These are Democratic senators who are in states easily won by Donald Trump in 2016, who are at least open to the idea, politically for their constituents, open to the idea of approving him. Three of them, three Democrats, voted for Neil Gorsuch last time around, and a fourth Democrat is now Doug Jones, the relatively new senator from Alabama who ended up taking Jeff Sessions' seat. He would be expected to probably go along with the president's choice.
And then you've got a couple of potential presidential candidates on the Judiciary Committee, so I'm guessing we're going to hear from them making their statements to a larger audience, I would think.
Well, Kamala Harris of California and Cory Booker, who are continuously being mentioned as potential presidential candidates in 2020, were two of the first senators to speak up on behalf of the Democrats as they continue. It seems to me, I've had to turn down the volume, but they continue, it seems to me, to try to call for an adjournment for this hearing. Because of what they've supposedly just received.
Yeah. Maybe sometime today Brett Kavanaugh will get to speak. We'll see.
Well, who knows?
I'm watching the same thing you are. But
certainly delayed, Brian.
Hey, Bob, thanks for the time. I know you have to run, but appreciate your update.
Thank you. Take care.
There you go. Bob Constantini, Westwood One in Washington, D.C., 929. A quick break, Adam. Back. Phone call. The news next. Stay ahead. Degrees, 9:31. The news straight ahead with Michael Kaiser. Don is with us. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
First off, we do need a new district attorney or state attorney, and it's not beyond anybody's capabilities to know why. Second of all, Kavanaugh, how long do you think it'll be before some outrageous accusation of racism comes out? Like, he called somebody a monkey. And the whole country can go, so? And then go, well, don't you know all black people look like monkeys? And we can go, no, but it's nice to know what you think.
I don't know what to say to that. What do you want me to say about that?
They're going to call him a racist. They have to.
Well, there's all kinds of things they're going to get after him about. I mean, that's...
That standpoint here, the black vote is going up to 40%, and they have to sway that vote. So they have to come up with some racist accusation. I mean, first, they'll stick up for the terrorists. They're going to do that wholeheartedly and say you can't be mean to somebody who wants to kill us. But they will come up with some racist thing. They have to sway. They're trying to sway the black vote. They're freaking out over the black vote, I'm telling you.
I got to get to the news. Thank you, sir. 9:32. There'll be other things too, though. I mean, the abortion discussion, you're going to talk about the issues that were in the Bush administration with enhanced interrogation. I suppose that could come up at some point, but I just, racism is part of it, but it's just, I think the larger issues are the ones that they're focused on. I've read an article on three things the Democrats are going to try to focus on during the course of the hearings, and that was not one of them, but, there are other big ones out there. All right, let's go to Michael Kaiser with the news headlines here, 9:33.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
One of our sponsors on Penny for Your Thoughts is Woods Basement Systems. They've been around since 1986, and they can help with all sorts of issues. We had some water, or the ground was so saturated around our condo that the water just was seeping into the basement. They came out, we called them, they gave us a quick review of what was going on, traced the problem down, and just recently put in a little drain for us along the wall, a little, I don't know, 6, 8, 10-inch area of concrete, about a foot along the wall to get a drain in there inside the wall and run it over to the sump pump. And that's going to take care of it. And they did a great job, and they did it in a very timely manner, and we appreciated it. So there's one recommendation anyway. That's an example of one of the things they can do. And if you have some cracks in your crawl spaces or in your basement or whatever, they can certainly take care of those for you. They've won a lot of awards for this type of work. They're most proud, though, of the Better Business Bureau Torch Awards, and that's a very prestigious award in their business. And the big issue with these cracks and like we had, they're not going to go away. So you got to look at it, get a free estimate, and do the best you can there with that and find out maybe it's not as big a problem as you thought. But could be. But why not go ahead and get the estimate? It's free. Give them a call, 888-935-4333, or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com. I know a lot of times the fear of the unknown kind of drives your thinking on it. But if you can find out, diagnose the problem, what it is, and kind of go on from there. But give them a call. Again, the number 888-935-4333 or woodsbasementsystems.com. 356-9397 is our phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, or you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, the hearings continue. The senators are all speaking. Kavanaugh has left one of the longest paper trails of any recent Supreme Court nominee, served more than a decade on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, before that for 5 years as a lawyer in the White House Counsel's Office in the George W. Bush administration. Kavanaugh also worked for independent counsel Ken Starr for 3 years during that probe that led to the impeachment of former President Bill Clinton. And some of the issues that they're going to touch on, according to this article in Slate, which is one of the columns I've read today, Democrats have been emphasizing three main areas of attack: access to abortion. There's a case involving SeaWorld, a frozen trucker case. They're going to try to show his pro-business, anti-little guy leanings in their mind. That'll be a SeaWorld case there. And also Democrats will press Kavanaugh on his unfriendly posture, they say, towards Chevron deference. That's another issue. And also Senators Dick Durbin of Illinois and Pat Leahy, who both served on the Judiciary Committee during Kavanaugh's 2006 confirmation to be appellate judge, will talk to him about his involvement in the Bush-era debate over the legal treatment of detainees. And you can expect, it says here, Cory Booker and Kamala Harris to take up the mantle of viral outrage that can be used in their presidential campaigns. And that's pretty much all that's happened so far. That was predicted to happen. It's also predicted he will win confirmation. So that's kind of where we are on the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Well, we got the news yesterday. We have open line time here for the next hour. And at 10:45 roughly, we'll get Rush Record in from CASA with an update from him. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us if you'd like, 3515-357, or email us, talk@wdws.com. The injury to Mike Dudek, and Mike Dudek injured again late in the game against Kent State. Just so sad to see that. He's had a couple of different knee surgeries. He has not played a full season since that first year in 2014 when he had, I think, like 78 catches and over 1,000 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns. He was amazing to watch. I remember that first year up in Camp Rantoul at the time, watching him practice. I'm like, who is this guy? I mean, the guy got open every time he caught every ball. He ran like a deer. And I'd describe to other announcers, I'd say, wait till you see this guy. He's not that big, not that tall, but, man, he gets open, he catches everything, and he runs like a deer. And that's what he did that first year. And then he got hurt, and he got hurt again. And then he came back last year for 6 or 7 games, and then he had to sit out the rest of the year there and looked good in camp. He was moving well. He was moving fast. And then went down with that injury, and I guess the defender there for Kent State rolled into his knee a little bit, and he limped off the field, and that's it. Mike Dudek put out a tweet. He said, "You can't allow adversity to define your life. You must take the good with the bad and continue to move forward." This was Mike Dudek after finding out he's done for the year and possibly at Illinois. He says, "I'm forever grateful for all the support I've received these past 5 years." And of course, his teammates were disappointed, as was his head coach Levy Smith. AJ Bush, quarterback for the Illini, commented, of course, this is his first year at Illinois, but his getting to know Mike Dudek and how disappointed he was.
"Man, I'm just not even thinking about football. I just care about him as a person, you know. Like, me and Mike welcomed me with open arms the first day I got here. And we had big plans, and it's upsetting, but he was in better spirits than I thought he was, than I thought he would be. And I'm super proud of him, and I'm very upset at the situation. But I mean, we don't know why things happen in life. So.
And as it turns out, the injury to Mike Dudek will end his season. Scott Van Pelt of ESPN did a nice piece for him on ESPN, tweeted out, "I'm going to share your story on the show tonight. I'm one of the many who are keeping a good thought for you as you move forward." Martin O'Donnell, my colleague on the air, tweeted, "Mikey means so much to so many people. Thanks, Scott Van Pelt. Thanks for shining a light on one guy that means a lot to tens of thousands of people." And Bill Cubitt tweeted as well. He says, "All the respect for an incredible young man from our family. It was an honor to be with you and coach you during my time at Illinois. Proud product of an amazing family. Stay strong, and the Cubitts love you." That's some of the reaction coming in, and teammates and coaches. Talked to Rod Smith on the radio show last night. So we will certainly miss Mike Dudek, but as they say, you have to go on. And Carlos Sandy, one guy who probably step into that role. Dominic Stampley, the former Centennial player who went to junior college, also will be used in that role, I'm sure. 944-356-9397. Had some early calls on the show about law enforcement and how they do here in Champaign County. Some issues. One, our first caller had to do with the issue in the Holly Cassano case, the suspect arrested in the case, and other violations. He was supposed to get DNA tested, did not show up. You know, what? How come that process breaks down there along the way? What happens to that? And all of that is, I mean, I'm not a legal expert, but I just talk to people and hear about it. And then sometimes while we have a great judicial system, it is not perfect. And I don't know who you blame for that or how that, you know, what you do with all that. But in the case of the Holly Cassano case with the suspect, there were several times where opportunities were there. And, you know, he either didn't do his part, what he was legally required to do, and just eluded capture all these years on a cold case that suddenly they arrested a suspect in. And all of that news broke late last week. Some of the other things coming up this week, by the way, President Obama, former president, be speaking on the U of I campus. You may have heard about that. What was the number? I think in the Sunday paper they had 22,000 requests for seats, something like that. And, of course, they can only get a few hundred in for that. But the former president will be speaking on the U of I campus on Friday. We'll have coverage of that starting at 10:50 a.m. on Friday. So what we're going to do Friday is we'll have our Illini Friday about 10 after 10 with the folks from the DIA, and then we'll lead you up to our newsroom coverage from Folinger Auditorium with the former president starting at 10:50 on Friday. And the other story, and somebody asked me if I brought up Nike. Yeah, I mentioned it briefly off the top. I don't know if you saw Colin Kaepernick is going to be featured in a Nike commercial. Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job in the NFL, but he does have a new deal with Nike. With his attorney, Mike Garagos, tweeting the announcement on September 3rd, calling the quarterback an All-American icon. This is his attorney talking. Kaepernick posted a Nike ad of his face and wrote, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Hashtag just do it." Kaepernick already had a deal with Nike that was set to expire, but it was renegotiated into a multi-year deal to make him one of the faces of Nike's 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign. Nike hasn't officially announced the new deal, but AP cited a source saying the company will feature Kaepernick in TV commercials, online ads, and billboards, create an apparel line for him, and contribute to his Know Your Rights charity. So that news in about Colin Kaepernick and Nike. 356-9397 is our phone number. Mike Namoff, everybody knows Mike Namoff for 30 years. He's been a major presence in East Central Illinois and beyond. His This Is It furniture store, you've known about that. His many charitable products. He's been a big help to us over at the Kiwanis Tom Jones Challenger League over the years with the different fundraising events and also pitching in our annual All-Star game over at Eichelberger Field. So good guy to know and a good guy to have in town and a great supporter. He's got a unique store, this reveal machine they have at Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop over at the Country Fair Shopping Center right next to This Is It Furniture. It'll basically show you on a screen where your pressure points are when you're sleeping, and so they can get the right mattress for you, find the right pillow for you. You can even get a travel pillow. I need to think about getting one of those with all the travel I do. But they've got ways to, I mean, they've got all kinds of scented pillows. If you like a high pillow, a low pillow, they've got bamboo bedding, very soft and silky. Snooze offers 100% Egyptian cotton that is hand-finished and tailored by Italian artisans. They have French linen made from flax grown in France. You're not going to find a store like this anywhere else around this area or in the Midwest, for that matter, I would think, with Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop. So I invite you to check it out with Mike Namoff and his team. Glad to have them on board with us here at Penny for Your Thoughts at the Country Fair Shopping Center, Springfield and Mattis in Champaign. And they've got all sorts of great things over there. We'll tell you more about it as we work our way through the month. All right, back to the phones here at 949. Good morning to, let's see, Greg. Good morning.
Morning, Brian. I just want to talk a little bit about the Nike Colin Kaepernick thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not just those two in particular. I mean, I see it a lot all over today. There's a lot of people that make a lot of money in, you know, selling products in the United States, and or athletes, you know, performing in the United States, making millions of dollars. But it, you know, their products that they're having made to sell here are being made in countries that are basically treating their workers like modern day slaves. And it's ironic that someone like Colin Kaepernick can wear t-shirts of Che Guevara or the Castros, and then he sits here and makes all this money here and badmouths the United States. And it's kind of hypocritical that, you know, the shoes he's wearing was made by slaves in Asia. And people that work for pennies, you know, pennies an hour. I mean, it's disgusting. I think Nike's really going to shoot itself in the foot with this one.
It'll be interesting to see what the stock price does of Nike on all of this and the feelings about Kaepernick. And again, people will tell you that Kaepernick's not protesting the United States per se. He's protesting what he sees as injustice in the United States. I mean, you can argue whether that covers
part of the
whole
thing,
know.
Brian, is nobody's coming up with a solution. They want to disband the police or, you know, release all the people out of jail, but nobody's coming up with a real solution. And until they have a serious conversation about it, I don't think they will.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know, the price, stock of it may drive Nike, you know, when you get down to it, and some of these things, when it comes to finances, that kind of drives some decision makers.
Yeah,
at the
it's
top.
All about money.
And unfortunately, it seems like it is, no matter what it is, you know. It's you can get somebody, well, you know, I'm not going to do that, but, oh, you give me that money, I'll do it. You know, it's in everyday life we do that, so.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
All right. Well, you have a good day, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Greg. 9:52, a break. More Penny for Your Thoughts. We're going to open line time till about 10:45 today. Then we'll get Rush Record on from CASA. And don't forget, later in the week, got a couple of other things we'll sprinkle in along the way, and Illini Friday at the end of the week. And then get ready for the president, former President Obama, speaking on campus at the end of the week as well. All of that straight ahead on Penny. 9:54, open line time today. We're just kicking around some different topics today as everybody gets back to work. We had Monday Morning Quarterbacks yesterday, in case you missed it. You can always check out all the podcasts of all our shows. We had Sports Talk quite a bit yesterday on the Labor Day itself with the Monday Morning Quarterback show. We had, the News Gazette sports writer, Steve Kelly, and the sports writers from the News Gazette last night. Had the Lovie Smith show last night. Had the High School show, High School Confidential, Prep Confidential. If you get a chance to hear that now on Monday nights at 6, you need to check it out. I think that would be the go-to place if you're a high school football fan in particular on Monday night to get all the latest and hear from a lot of the coaches and get a top 10 and everything else. Colin Likas and Jim Rosso will help handle all that. Want to mention, too, we have Doobie Brothers tickets before you can buy them on Friday. The Doobie Brothers at the State Farm Center. Interested in one of the pairs we have to give away? There are two ways to enter. You can send us a text with the word Doobies, D-O-O-B-I-E-S, and your name to our Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 3515-357. And I guess Adam will take those and pass them along. Or you can email us at Doobie Brothers. You remember them, right? The Doobie Brothers? Email doobiebrothers@wdws.com with your name and your daytime phone. Either one of those two ways. Just text us with the word Doobies and your name, 351-5357, or email doobiebrothers at wdws.com with your name and daytime phone. And you'll be entered with a chance to win. Jim, good morning. How are you today?
Brian, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I hope you had a great holiday weekend.
I did. I worked most of it. But
me too.
Yes.
On the Colin Kaepernick and Nike, there are just so many so-called superstars in the NFL that Nike could cozy up to. I'm sure they've tried to figure out the numbers, and they might be right, siding with this gentleman, because the age group that they appeal to, for the most part, is a little more open-minded about what's going on, and it's us older folks that don't care for it, or at least some of us. But I am just really shocked that they, of all the people they could write a multi-year contract with, especially when he was up for renewal. I don't think this is going to play out too well for him. I've got a lot of friends this year that are not watching NFL at all. Several of them said they wouldn't, and as far as I know, the several friends that said they wouldn't are not, and I definitely am not. So we'll see how that all shakes out. He's not a hero in my book. That's my personal opinion only. Mm-hmm. And when it appears to the average person that you're disrespecting the flag and everything around it, just because that happens to be the point that they choose to kneel, and to me it's disrespectful. And when a lot of people out there are saying this, I would think they would pick up on you are upsetting a bunch of people, and a lot of people think it is disrespectful.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting dynamic, Jim, is that you talk about the economics. The younger people that buy all the shoes and all the items that they buy, is that going to increase because of this, or are they going to turn off more people that don't like what Kaepernick is doing and has done? And you know, what's going to be the ebb and flow of that, I think, is going to be interesting to follow.
And, you know, we can talk on this a few weeks from now or whatever, but I appreciate, and really quick, I don't think you can get another caller in before the break. The deal with the Cassano case, too, I'll reiterate the same thing the other gentleman said. They had multiple times this gentleman was in jail, even after they knew he was to give a DNA sample. And again, like you say, it's not a perfect system, but it seems like he did slip through the cracks. Ultimately, he is caught. He's away from all the rest of the population, which is good, but it could have probably came at a quicker time based on what we've heard, yeah, you know, with all his interactions.
Yeah. Well, may have to see. I don't know what they'd be willing to talk about at this point with all that's going to happen, but, you know, to have an Alan Jones on or Kurt Apperson or somebody like that to maybe kind of walk us through some of that, because it'd be interesting to hear their perspective on it. But, you know.
Well, that'd certainly be super.
Yeah. So. Hey, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. 356-9397. A couple of politicians in town. I mentioned the former president. Of course, that's the big one. Governor Bruce Rauner in Farmer City today is dedicating a stretch of I-74 in honor of a state trooper who died there. And also the challenger to Representative Rodney Davis, Betsy Dirksen-Londergren, announced she'll hold a town hall event this week on the U of I campus, Thursday, 1301 West Green Street, 6 to 6:30, 6:30 to 7:30. All right, we'll continue with more on the Kavanaugh hearings from CBS, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts on a Tuesday, 82 degrees here at 10:11 in the morning. warm and humid tonight. It's low of 71, as Michael mentioned. And Saturday football, 70% chance of rain. May have the effects. Have to check with Greg on that. I don't know if the hurricane or the tropical storm, it's going to be a hurricane that's coming ashore, is going to kind of slip up into the Midwest and flow into the jet stream there. And that may be part of why there's a good chance of rain on Saturday. That game at Saturday night at 6:30. Different start time, 6:30 than we're used to. Illini game day coverage with Scott Beatty comes your way starting at 5 on Saturday night. Of course, got volleyball mixed in. Volleyball's off to a great start. Dave Lone has all of that action from Cleveland this weekend. Cleveland State hosting an event. So they've been out to Fort Collins, Colorado, Greeley, Colorado, Seattle, Washington, and then they'll be in Cleveland this weekend. Soccer with a couple of big wins early over Duke and Oklahoma State. Good to hear from Janet Rayfield at yesterday's press conference, at the Lovie Smith press conference yesterday. 356-9397. Want to remind you that tomorrow is Blossom Basket Good Neighbor Day. Pick up a free dozen roses, keep one, hand out the other 11 to friends and strangers. I was just thinking what they should do is take some roses to the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings and just hand out all the roses there. Make them all smile, at least for a minute. Again, this year, the Blossom Basket asking for your help by donating non-perishable food items for the CU at Home Men's Shelter. Roses starting at 7 a.m. in the morning at either Blossom Basket location or our former studios down at Neyland Windsor, where we used to be. Or you can stop by here at the News Gazette Media Building, our new studios, 15 Main downtown. Make sure you say hi if you do, or wave through the glass. You can do that. So that'll be coming up tomorrow, Blossom Basket Good Neighbor Day. Always a fun day there. 356-9397 is our phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357, or email us, talk at WDWS.com. Back to the phones here to John. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Brent. I'm going to have to get me a rose and take to Miss Anna Walscott.
Okay.
So I can make her day.
Well, you should.
Bill Ed, take one, too.
Okay.
But I just want to say, you know, I don't understand one thing, and it wasn't about the flag. It was not about the anthem. That's what the president said. Everybody's going against Kaepernick because – I admit, he shouldn't have did it on a national stage. But it wasn't about the flag. It wasn't about the anthem. But what about what the president did in front of the president of Russia? I mean, you know, you can't get away from one without thinking about the other. But I guess everybody can believe anything this man says. I just want to ask, why doesn't he ever go back to New York?
Oh, the president?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
He goes everywhere, but he never goes to New York.
Well, he was in New Jersey. That's pretty close.
Oh, yeah, he'll go to New Jersey. But him and Psycho Rudy, you know, and Rudy about to blow it for him. I don't understand that. Rudy needs to go get some, goes to Ace Hardware and get him some duct tape. I think he about burnt out. But, you know, it wasn't about the anthem or the flag, but the president embarrassed the country, the national anthem, the national flag, the people, and nobody says a word.
So you think Nike? So do you think Nike will? This is a gamble on their part, or do you think it's a safe bet?
It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
Guys like me and you, we ain't buying all this Nike stuff. All these young kids are buying it. So the young people are pushing the majority of the issues right now. It's just like me myself. I think Judge Kavanaugh should be, he should be put on the Supreme Court because, number one, we got a bunch of women on there. Women take care of business. They going to take care of everything. So he's going to get his shot, and he'll be all right.
Well,
Democrats need to wake up.
It's interesting. I've had the TV on just to watch, you know, to have it with the sound down, just watching it. And It's interesting because as I've had that on, here at 10:16.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
42,000 notes that I have to go through. No.
Yeah.
He should be on there. Should be on there.
Well, it's interesting, as we had our EAS test here a moment ago. That's why I was pausing. It's interesting with the hearings going on. He hasn't spoken a word yet. He's been sitting there.
Right. I think he's going to make it.
Yeah. I think he will, too. Okay. It's going to be a close vote. But, hey, thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, we were doing our EAS test in the middle of that, so you may or may not have heard of all that conversation with me and John. But anyway, he was making the point about Kavanaugh. He thought Kavanaugh would be confirmed. He thought it was a safe bet that he would be confirmed. He also said it was a safe bet that Nike will be okay, because the people that are buying the shoes, they might be more supportive of Kaepernick, young people in general, the millennials and so forth. I mean, I buy a pair of shoes once every like 3 years, tennis shoes. But I know there's a lot more being sold every day than that. 10:17 here at DWS. We'll come back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. We'll keep it going here until about 10:45, and then Rush Record will join us from CASA. Back after this. We had the sirens go off in downtown Champaign, and they were loud. We're pretty close to one, apparently, because it was very loud. They were testing those out first Tuesday of the month, and the EBS test went off during our conversation there with John. So hopefully I recapped it for you. JB says, thanks for the emergency broadcast test during John's conversation. Sorry about that. It just happens first Tuesday of the month. Adam says, taking roses out to D.C. probably would not help on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Mike says Greg hit the nail on the head, hypocrites. Somebody texted in, says Kanye West rules. Benny texts in, he says, I couldn't believe how bad my Florida State Seminoles played at home against Virginia Tech. Yeah, the Hokies crushed them last night in Tallahassee. Had not won there since the mid-70s. Of course, they just recently joined the ACC, Virginia Tech, in recent years, so that's probably part of that. And also, Brian, I was watching an NBA Finals game on NBA TV last week between the Washington Bullets and Golden State. And did you know that former Illini Nick Weatherspoon played for the Bullets? Yes, I did know that. And when I was growing up, when I first started going to Illini games, Nick Weatherspoon was my favorite player. And the band used to play, remember what they used to play? Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? The band used to play that at the Assembly Hall. I remember that. Yeah, Spoon was one of my favorite players. 356-9397. We had John on. We've had Jim. Now we get a James. Good morning, James.
Hey, how are you today, sir?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Did you perchance have an earlier caller by the name of Stan?
No, we didn't.
No, it was some guy ranting, raving about something.
Oh, we had a call off the top about law enforcement and some of the what they perceive with the guy that was arrested in the Holly Cassano case, how he evaded getting captured all these years, basically.
Well, anyway, but you know what I'm talking about, that guy Stan that calls in once in a while?
Oh, I've heard of him, yeah.
Oh, he's just something else, man. You talk about an anti-Trumpster, come on, man.
Well,
anyway,
he's got one vote like everybody else, I guess.
Well, I really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, James. Yeah. And you just wanted to call in and chat about that, huh? And nothing else on your mind?
You know, the rush hour is coming up, so I can't miss that, okay?
Okay.
Just me being me.
Hey, that's okay. Thanks, James.
All right, thank you.
We like you the way you are. Once again, texter says, once again, John calls in, says, the protest is not about the flag. It's not about the flag. Don't dishonor it. All you're doing is making people mad. Respect the flag and protest in other ways. Talking about Kaepernick. Let's go to Bill on the phone at 1024. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
This Friday, the U of I has decided they're going to award an ethics award to Barack Obama, correct?
I forget the exact name of the award, but yes, they are honoring him.
Paul H. Douglas Ethics Award in Government. This is to a man, Barack Obama, that sent his minion out to six TV programs to lie about Benghazi when they knew better. And then he went before and lied about Benghazi when he knew better. And for this, they're going to give him an ethics award.
So you're saying have him come, but don't give him that award.
I would not even have had him come for the award, because to me, ethics means being honest, telling the truth. And all he did was try to CYOA so he would get reelected.
Yeah. Well, they've got a lot of demand for his, for the, you know, among the students to see him. So maybe they, maybe they're not worried about that.
Well, you've got a, you're in a hotbed of Illinois and Democrats, and campus administration is pretty much Democratic leaning. So it's not surprising to me that they would go this way.
Hey, Bill, thanks for your thoughts today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great to hear you. Yes, 1025 here at DWS, 356-9397, open phone time, open line time until about 1045 or so. Rush, I think, is back today. Is he back from his Labor Day break? I think they had the best of on yesterday. Tiny, good morning.
Good morning. I think that John's wrong on the age group for people to wear Nikes. I'm awfully close to 93, and I just threw my pair away yesterday. I've worn them for years, but I won't be wearing them anymore. He used to, when people would call up and say something bad about Obama, he would say, "Let's respect the presidency." But the shoe's on the other foot now. Ever since Trump's been in, he's called in and talked and degraded him every way that he can. And I just want him to know that I remember that. And this guy is disrespecting the flag, and he knows it. If I go out and throw a fit in front of the people who are raising the flag, what are they going to do? They're going to run me off. When they're playing the national anthem, the most sacred song we got, and they're going to kneel and do that before that song. This is the United States of America. God bless you. Every person on it. And do not disrespect anything that pertains to the flag. I respect their idea, but do it somewhere else. I can't believe anybody would stand up for this guy. I don't think he's a bad guy. He just got a bad idea.
Well, it is interesting. Okay, thank you, Tiny. I appreciate it. If you go the other way, if you think about the young athletes that are on the Olympic stand when the United States anthem is played, is it because they get very emotional? Is it because they're emotional about their win? Is it emotional because they love their country and they love hearing the flag represents that? I'm talking in a positive way. So there are a lot of emotions tied up in with that. So I guess if you go the other way and say you're disrespecting or that you're upset with something in the country, and I guess what some of the callers have said is don't do it towards the flag because then you're in turn disrespecting the country. Do it a different way, I think is the message Tiny was talking about there. All right, let's go to Rex. Good morning, Rex.
Good morning. How you doing this
I'm
morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty and good. That's a good combination.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, I wanted to do a little engineering calculations on this the Senate hearing now, and the Democrats are asking for all of Judge Kavanaugh's documents.
Yes.
Got a minute?
Yes.
Right now, there seems to be agreement in the Senate that he has submitted to the senators 488,000 documents.
Yes, he did, or the Bush administration did, I think. But yeah,
somebody mm-hmm. did.
Yeah.
Somebody has given 488,000, which includes all his 300 plus decisions. And there also seems to be agreement that that amounts to about 6% of what the documents are. And the Democrats say it is they need to see all the documents and see what it is. So let's do a little bit of engineering calculations. And if you take 488,000 and you divide it by 6%, that's $8,133,000 documents that the senators want. And if they review those documents every day of the year for 4 years, that means they're reviewing 5,570 documents per day, every day of the year for 4 years. That's 225 documents per hour, 24 hours a day, for the what they're looking for.
That's a lot
of
reading.
Screaming, we need these documents. This absolutely must be in there. So that means that for 4 years, that means there could be another president. The Supreme Court would be without a justice for 4 years, so it'd be eight. And let's see, what else? That means that there would be two turnovers of senators in that time. You know, I hate to say this, but this just kind of smells like it might be obstruction. What do you think?
Well, I think that they know that here's the game that's being played, and it happens it happens a lot of times on both sides, but the game that is played is they know they don't have the votes to stop it. And so they're going to pull out this playbook. Play number one is to do this, and play number two is to do that. And the documents are the thing that they're going with first. That's the first play.
Yep. Yeah, but, it'd be nice if they had just a little honesty and they threw in just what I said, just so the American people get an idea of what they're asking for. I mean, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? If they want to ask for them, but tell the American people rather than talking in percentages. Let's just see how many documents you're talking about.
Well, you've made...
That'd be 225 documents an hour for 24 hours a day for 4 years. What else are they going to do while they're in the Senate but look those documents over?
Well, that'll keep them busy, that's for sure.
Ain't that the truth? I know a skunk when I smell a skunk, and I believe this smells like a skunk.
All right, if it walks and talks, I guess, right?
There you go.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for your time. You have a good day.
Thank you, Rex. That's a lot of numbers. Did you consume all that? Let's go to Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I really was thinking about the national anthem last week, I've told you this before, the fact that they fight about the national anthem being played at a football game just frustrates me to no end. But you know when it really would have been appropriate to play the national anthem over the whole loudspeaker so the whole country could hear it is when John McCain was buried. To me, that's when the national anthem should be played and people should stand and salute the flag when someone like John McCain dies. But the fact that we fight about it at a football game, like, who cares? I'm all for it not even being played ever at a football game because the guy, the older guy that was two calls ago, said it's our most sacred song, which I agree with him. So why are we overplaying it, and why are we doing this forced patriotism? Isn't what the soldiers go to war to fight so people can have their own freedoms? And if Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to stand up and he wants to kneel and respect the flag, he didn't turn his back to the flag, but he kneeled down. Isn't that what the soldiers go and fight for? Isn't that what John McCain went with a POW for?
Yeah. Well, you're saying just keep it for really sacred occasions and not you trivialize it by playing it all the time at everything. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like you said with the Olympics, that's only every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's great. I think that there's 18 weeks of football, And I think the Super Bowl, that's a good time to do it. But why do we have to do it for the Jaguars versus the Bengals? Like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, Illinois versus Kent State. Like, who cares about the national anthem? One, my whole point is one has nothing to do with the other, right? Wow. Illinois playing Kent State has absolutely nothing to do with the flag or the Pledge of Allegiance. So they're starting to think about it.
All right. Hey, thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
Great to hear from you. Michael Kaiser's next with the news headlines here on DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
Degrees, 10:39 here at DWS. Football season's upon us, school getting started. Now might be a good time to get family and friends together for a trip over to the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Enjoy a nice drive in the country at I-74 with the corn and soybean fields giving way to the trees and rivers of Vermilion County as you make your way east. And then 4 miles inside the state line of Indiana, you come to a restaurant that's been doing it right for 50 or more years, the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Our friends Bob and Bonnie Wright voted one of the top family steakhouses in the Midwest, finalists for Outstanding Restaurant in our awards here, the News Gazette Awards that we had, the People's Choice. Beef House features everything from 8 to 20-ounce ribeyes, petite to extra-large filet mignon, New York strip or chopped sirloin with grilled onions, barbecued boneless chicken breast, a three-piece pan-fried chicken dinner. All of the sides are terrific. I love the baked Idaho potato with lots of butter. No sour cream for me. A lot of people get sour cream. I just don't. I just want the butter. If you have young ones in your group, the Beef House has a child's menu as well, includes a hamburger or chicken tenders and all of that. Maybe you're into seafood, that's there as well. All at the Beef House, Covington, Indiana. If you're planning a trip or got some friends in, football season, leaves will be turning at some point. The corn already has in a lot of places. 356-9397, so make sure you stop at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Taps is played to honor a fallen soldier. That text came in. Bill says, so the folks complaining about Obama getting an ethics award, which he's coming to speak and getting one at the U of I on Friday, the folks complaining about Obama getting an ethics award think Trump should. No comparison. And amazing how many McCain lovers hated him until he died. Just politics, according to Bill. 356-9397 is our phone number. By the way, on this date in history, a couple of things happened. Well, Gilligan's Island last aired on CBS. Kelly Clarkson won the first American Idol competition, 2002. The year for Gilligan's Island's last show was 1967. Remember, the first year was in black and white. After that, it was in color. Remember that? This day in 1972, Mark Spitz, remember him? First athlete to win 7 gold medals at a single Olympics in 1972. Of course, Michael Phelps broke that record in 2008 at the Beijing Olympics. And this day in 1957, the Ford Motor Company began selling its ill-fated Edsel. Proved to be so unpopular, it was taken off the market in 1959. But if you were around about that time, you may have heard a commercial like this.
You just turn a key on the dashboard and the trunk opens electrically. And here's how easy it is to drive. Can you flick that light switch?
Why, certainly. Anyone can.
Then you can drive the Edsel.
That's right. Driving the 1958 Edsel is as easy as flicking a light switch. For Edsel's exclusive new teletouch drive shifts electrically at a touch. It's a new idea that puts shifting where it belongs, so you can keep both hands safely at the wheel. And look, you can shift and turn the wheel at the same time, for the control remains stationary, which makes Edsel the world's easiest car to handle. On the Edsel's instrument panel, you'll find many more new ideas, like this speedometer that glows red when you exceed the safe maximum speed you set it for. This one simple dial that sets heat, ventilation, and air conditioning at a twist of the wrist. Even a remote trunk release that electrically opens the luggage compartment. And under that long, straight Edsel hood, you'll find the newest V8 engines in the world. The big new Edsel 400 and the larger Edsel 475. Each one power matched to the weight of the car to put more usable power at your command than you have ever known before.
There you go. The Edsel. Wasn't that great? How about that speedometer that turns red? Okay, I just thought you might like to hear that. They don't make commercials like that anymore, do they? Text says, all I need to know is where to get one. Okay, let's see here. 10:44. Let's go to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
The guy that you just had on that said he didn't think we ought to play a national anthem at these games.
Yeah.
He's in my opinion, he is obviously not, I'm going to be a little bit harsh, but he's not obviously not a patriot. He has clearly not had military background. And if he is, maybe he should not have been. I personally think that we ought to do what I have seen Canadians do and other countries more than that. At these games, they not just put on their national anthem, but the entire crowd sings along with it. They stand up and they do all the things that they're going to do, whether they wave their little things or whatever. Everybody gets into singing their national anthem. Are we so petty about it that we can't support our country like that?
Well, I love it when we all sing the anthem. We've done that a couple of times in recent games or games we've been at in the Big Ten. I just, it's very chilling. I really like it when everybody does it. We all used to do that. I'm trying to figure out when the tradition started. Maybe I need to do a little homework on this, of doing it before games. I just wonder when that started. Was it during, would it be during the war? Was it before that? Or
I don't have any idea. I really don't. But it is. My family is very has a strong military background, and I don't think that we should wean it out. I think that we should make it stronger, like put it into more sports, put it into the schools. You know, the whole thing. I mean, criminally, if we don't raise our kids to do this in the schools, then they're gonna grow up just like the kids are now, and it's not gonna be a part of their life hardly at all.
Hmm.
And they're gonna say, just like this guy did, you know, that you just had on. Why? Really?
Yeah. So do it more often and sing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Join in.
Okay. Very good, Jeff. Well, thanks for your input. Right. I appreciate it. All right, 10:46. I need a break. I've got Rush Record coming in, so callers, I'll have to get back to you tomorrow. We'll get Rush Record in from CASA, and we'll come back with more in a moment. I'm still chuckling about that Edsel commercial. That was funny. All right, back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm watching the hearings at the same time here. We have our TV that kind of monitors current events and all the big events. And Brett Kavanaugh has not said one word yet, almost 2 hours. He's been listening to senators pontificate there. So that's all going on in Washington. Woods Basement Systems, founded in 1986 by Rick and Anna Lee Woods. Today we're one of the largest foundation repair and waterproofing contractors in Illinois and Missouri. Commercial clients, residential clients, they've got a great track record. Awards only begin to tell the story. Woods Basement System, leading the industry in innovation and expertise. No matter what your concern, for home or for business, you can be confident that the Woods Basement Systems representative will have the expertise to diagnose the problem and offer the best, most cost-effective solution. It's been more than 25 years since the company was founded in the Woods home, and they have a 16,000-square-foot facility, 20-acre property, and they can get you a free estimate. Anything that you've got going on with your basement or crawl space, the problems do not go away. So make sure you contact them, 888-935-4333, 888-935-4333, or go to woodsbasementsystems.com. And I want to remind you, we have Doobie Brothers tickets before you can buy them. Rush Record is here. You a big Doobie Brothers guy?
Well, I know a song or two about for the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah. Well, they're going to be in town, State Farm Center. They go on sale Friday. And before you can buy them, you can win them. But you got to enter. Two ways to enter, okay? We have one of the pairs to give away. And if you're interested, two ways to enter. Either send us a text with the word doobies, D-O-O-B-I-E-S, and your name to our Castle Heating and Cooling text line. So Rush can do that if you'd like, 351-5357. Or you can email us, doobiebrothers@wdws.com, with your name and daytime phone. Those are the two ways to enter. Text us, 351-5357, do the word doobies, or email doobiebrothers@wdws.com, your name and daytime phone. All right, 10:52, Rush Record is with us from CASA.
How are you? Good
and
to
you.
And
you have a message you need to get out.
We do. Yeah. We're starting another advocate class, actually 2 weeks from today. So we're looking for volunteers to help with the abused and neglected kids we serve. So I thought we'd come on and talk about that for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Hop on our website at CASA4kids.org. There's an online application there you can fill out. You can call the office at 384-9065, ask any questions you have. Great training program, but unfortunately the need is high for volunteers. We always have kids we need to serve. So,
well, tell people, remind us, for people that maybe you're new to the community and don't know what CASA does.
So CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and what we do is provide volunteer advocates and legal representation for all abused and neglected kids that are in the court system in Champaign County. And as of right now, it's over 370 kids in the system, so We make sure that those kids' best interests are being met as they go through the process, making sure that they're getting the services they need and placed in appropriate placements and being well cared for.
Yeah, we've talked about the court system a little bit today, and court is traumatic for adults. But
Right.
In some of these cases with these kids, they're in just awful situations that
The kids have been abused in the first place. You know, the kids don't ask to be abused or neglected, and then all of a sudden they're removed from their homes and have a lot of strangers involved in their lives all of a sudden. So we're actually the agency in town that solely focuses on their best interest. We do look at the big picture, but we make sure that the kids are well taken care of as well. So serve kids from birth to up to 21 years old. Over 40% of our kids are under the age of 6.
What would a volunteer typically do when they're get in this class and then learn to do what?
Well, so the class is very extensive. It's a 30-hour training process. It's very extensive. We give them as much information as we possibly can in training, provide them with support when they get out with paid staff and other volunteers. But what they do is they basically work side-by-side with the social service agencies that are working with these kids and really making sure that everything is being taken care of, that services are being taken care of in the appropriate and timely manner. Everybody, I think, knows the social service system is overworked. So we're really in there pushing everything to make sure things get taken care of as they should be taken care of. We don't want the kids in the system any longer than they have to be. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the goals that we are after. And then we try to come to a successful resolution for the case, whether they be returned home or adopted or whatever else we can get taken care of for the kids.
Mm-hmm. How many advocates do you have now?
We have slightly over 100 advocates now. We have about 250 cases. And like I said, it's about 370 kids. So as you can see, there's multiple cases with multiple children. We have kids placed all over the county, all over the state, and we actually have 5 or 6 kids placed outside of the state right now.
So people, if they're interested, think about it. This is something to think about.
We do have an application process that, you know, we'd love to have people apply by next Wednesday if we could, which is the 12th. We do have to do a background check and an interview, but we definitely want folks to call and reach out to us before they decide they maybe can't do it. We can talk you through any questions or problems that you might have. And that's what training is for, too, to really see if it's something that a volunteer out there might be willing to do.
And I would think with something as serious as this, maybe if you're like, well, I don't want to commit because I'm not sure, but if maybe you learn about it, and see if that's...
Yeah, we hope that we can walk people through the process to maybe ease some of their concerns. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have any experience with working with kids or the social welfare system at all. I mean, we'll walk you through all that. As a matter of fact, sometimes our great advocates are ones that really haven't had any experience with that. But we don't just throw you out there to the wolves. We'll give you all the support you need. You just have to be 21 and be able to pass a background check, and we'll take it from there.
And give me the time and date again.
Right. We start September 18th. It'll be about 6 o'clock. We'll be in our new offices then. It's 3 nights a week for about 3.5 weeks. Graduation's about 6 weeks after that, where we swear you in. But we'd love for everybody to apply by next Wednesday the 12th, if possible.
Okay, and the number to call?
384-9065 or CASA, the number 4kids.org.
Okay. Hey, Rush, thank you.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
Keep up your good work over there.
Thank you.
We'll come back and wrap up the show in a moment. I'm always amazed by any of the hearings, and I watch a lot of it over the years, different nominees. I'm always amazed by either party when you sit there, you just have to not roll your eyes or put your hand over your head, or you just get to sit there and you just look straight ahead. All right, more tomorrow. Penny for your thoughts. Some open line time starting at 9 on WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, CBS News at the Tone, 11 o'clock Central.